And welcome into the Tuesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Hope everybody's off to a wonderful start here on this Tuesday morning. Joe Rex Road, happy Tuesday to you. What's going on?
Not much. Just stayed up to watch the Eagles completely implode, which is very, you know, very bad for me, and Pigskin Pick'em and good for Ian, so I'm in a bad mood.
Well, it's good for me in the NFC playoff race. I know that. Way to go, Chargers. Nice job.
Go, Chargers, go.
Yes. Go, Chargers. Good stuff. I did not watch
horrible
any of the game. Because I was watching Frozen, because that's my life now. But I did hear there are a lot of turnovers in that game, Joe. A lot of turnovers in that one.
I mean, four picks and a fumble. And, you know, a couple of the picks were, you know, tipped, including the last one, were tipped. So, like, they weren't, like, you know, totally on Hurts. But, my goodness. You talk about a game that you just hand to an opponent. I mean, you know, because their defense is... As you know, as we all know, watching them, their defense is absolute championship defense.
Yep.
And it doesn't make – it makes no sense that they struggle this much on offense. I just don't understand it.
I have – with the players that they have, I have no idea how they're that bad. Ian Safar, how are we doing? What's going on?
Good morning. I stayed up for most of the game. I believe it was 16-16. I think maybe Philly had just taken the 19-16 lead when I went to sleep, and I was like, all right, I guess that's it for the pick. But I also lost – I was losing out on the TV to Wipeout. Wipeout was on.
Nice.
The six-year-old would not let me put the game on, even though I tried to tempt her that there was a Monsters, Inc. version
yes.
of the game. And still no dice.
Nothing.
No.
That's not good enough.
So I showed
What's
her –
Wipeout?
You know that show where they're running across all the obstacles and they're it's over like, the water and whatever?
And they fall in there.
You're trying to get through the obstacle course without just totally eating it.
Okay.
Not as good as MXC, Most Extreme Challenge, which is an elite show. But, so I showed her a couple of clips on the socials. Like, hey, look, this is on. Don't you want to turn the game on?
Nothing.
No dice.
Nothing.
But, I texted you guys. I missed the first. The app, of course, would not kick on until 3 minutes and 22 seconds left in the first quarter. So I missed that much of the game. And then, I woke up to surprising to see. I guess it shouldn't be too surprising to see Jalen Hurts throw an interception at the end of the game, given how it went. But I was surprised that that the Eagles lost.
They're reeling right now. They're now at 8-5 and – I don't know, man. Their offense is rough. Joe, which kind of leads us to our conversation. I mean, the playoff race in both the AFC and the NFC, very interesting. I mean, I would imagine if Roger Goodell is waking up right now and looking at the standings, he's pretty happy with what's going on just in terms of what the races are going to look like down the stretch here. In the AFC, you got two 11-2 teams in Denver and New England. You got New Blood and Jacksonville leading their division. Pittsburgh, with a huge win in Baltimore over the weekend, is at 7-6. So those are your four division leaders in the AFC. And then right now in the wild card race, you got the Chargers, the Bills, and the Texans occupying those spots. And then right behind them are the Colts, and we're going to get to them here in just a second because holy smokes, could something amazing happen there. The Baltimore Ravens at 6-7, and then the Chiefs at 6-7. By the way, Miami has like quietly crept up into – at least that sort of territory. They're at 6-7 as well. So those are the teams that are in it in the AFC. And, Joe, I guess you could throw Cincinnati in there. I'm not going to do that. They're 4-9. I think they're totally done at this point. So Bengals going to be out of it as well. On the NFC side of things, the Rams are 10-3. The Packers are 9-3-1. The Eagles have dropped to 8-5. The Bucks are 7-6. And in the wild card race, you got a 10-3 Seattle team, a 9-4 San Francisco team, and a 9-4 Chicago team with the Lions right outside at 8-5. I mean, the Bears went from the number one seed. They lost one game, and they went all the way down to 7, like barely clinging onto a playoff spot. That's what things look like in the NFC. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, and I think, I heard Aikman saying this, that would agree with him last night that it's. I think the AFC has been the better conference, and I think that I think there's just more good teams in the NFC now. And I guess some of that is a little bit of disrespect for the new money for the Broncos and the Patriots. Obviously both good teams, but when the Chiefs do what they're doing, which I think, and by the way, someone made this point too, and it's a good one to remember. I need to find the tweet to get the exact. Brady went 9 years without a Super Bowl, went from like age 28 to 36. For anybody who's like, Mahomes is done or whatever, like, I'd go ahead and keep an open mind on what might happen with Patrick Mahomes. They obviously have, like, that team has issues. They're old in some areas. They're not good enough in some areas. Just remember, Brady won a decade, and then he won four more after that. So, I think Mahomes probably – we probably aren't done having heard from Mahomes yet. But
probably not.
But they are – this team is bad, and they're losing all the close games, which is a total regression from last year. And obviously the Ravens, and even the Bills are, like, not, what they were supposed to be. So I do think that the NFC is stronger. I guess you could turn it around and say, well, what, are you sure the Bears are that good? And that's a fair point. But I do think the Seahawks are good. For real, and obviously I think the Rams, I think the Rams still might be the best team in the NFC, but it's going to be a heck of a playoff.
All right, so the Colts are dealing with Daniel Jones's injury, which we talked about yesterday, and it kind of feels like they are just totally screwed when it comes to, they're trying to get Riley Leonard healthy to play quarterback, Anthony Richardson, with a fractured orbital bone earlier in the year with the with the exercise band incident. And I read this yesterday, Joe. I was just kind of scrolling through Twitter, and I was like, well, that's not real. I'm just going to keep going. And then all these other people kept talking about it. Apparently, Phillip Rivers is going to visit Indianapolis today and go through a workout. He has not played in the NFL since 2020. He's probably going to end up in the Hall of Fame one day, I think. But Phillip Rivers, at the age of 44, by the way, yesterday was his birthday, so I guess happy birthday to Phillip Rivers. 44 years old, apparently going to go to a workout with the Colts where he is giving real consideration to coming back in there and playing, Joe Rexroad. What do you think of that? And what do you think of the Colts being like, yeah, let's bring Phillip Rivers in?
Well, he should be in the Hall of Fame anyway for having 31 kids. But
it's true.
Not something I would have expected. Also, I when you say 44, like without knowing, I would have guessed maybe a little more like 48, So I guess like from that perspective,
spring chicken.
So you're telling me that he hasn't played since he never played football in his 40s? Is that right?
That adds up. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess he kind of retired young. Relative to what some of these guys are doing these days. I don't know. Again, this is where, unfortunately, we found out that Ryan Tannehill actually did tell people he's done, because to me that would be a much better choice for the Colts. Or I was going to say, obviously it's not like they can go trade for Cousins now. So I guess, man, desperation. If you do what they did with the Sauce Gardner trade, I suppose you have to – you have to try to do something now, right?
I guess. Is Phillip Rivers, I don't know, who hadn't played in the league in 5 years, is that the way we should go on this? I will admit I'm very intrigued by it. I don't know. He's got to get through the workout, and then they've got to, determine that that's the path that they're going to go as a starter, which is not guaranteed. But I will admit, if he does, I will be very intrigued to watch him play. More importantly, I'd be very intrigued to have him mic'd up the whole time so we could hear a few more dead gummets out there. Be good.
God darn it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm intrigued too. Remind me then, who else do they have right now?
Well, Riley Leonard's hurt.
Yeah, it's Riley Leonard.
Yeah.
And Riley Leonard's hurt too.
Yeah. So they're in. Gosh.
And he's not. You can't even. You're not winning. Riley Leonard.
So yeah. They're in deep trouble at quarterback. There's no doubt about that. But I don't know. I just Phillip Rivers being on the couch for the last 5 years and not playing. I know he's been coaching high school football, so good for him. But not playing has been it's kind of amazing that he's even given this a shot.
A team made up entirely of his children. No, well, yeah. I mean, look, I laughed at the Flacco thing, though, too. Now, I know it's not the same thing. You're talking about half a decade.
Yeah.
But I laughed at that. And Flacco, you know, Flacco just comes out there wherever he is, just winging the ball around. So I'm very intrigued because I'm like, you know, there's Tannehill. What else would there be out there?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, Rivers has a grandkid, as a lot of people have pointed out on the text line. You think he was just looking around at home one day? He's like, my God, there's a whole lot of mouths to feed around here. I got to go back to the NFL.
Yeah, I guess, man. Or maybe he's just being nice to the Colts, you know. I mean, maybe he's just going to show up and, you know. I mean, that's the thing. Like, what kind of shape is he in?
I mean, I would assume good shape if he's at least given it some consideration. Like, I hope he hadn't been around sitting around eating bonbons for the last 5 years and like, yeah, you know what? I can still go out there and play some quarterback.
Yeah. Are Colts fans excited about this? Do Colts fans, I mean, he was better than like some of the other when they went through their quarterback walk, you know, walking through the desert for years. I guess he was probably the best one of all those guys, right?
Do we think this idea originated from Carly Ursay Gordon on the headset on Sunday? He's like, hey, guys, I'm going to give Phillip a call. Don't worry about it. We got a quarterback coming in on Monday. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Every order is given via headset. Is that?
We'll see what happens on the Phillip Rivers
front. Working a drive-thru.
Multiple people pointed out it is amazing that looks like he's going to give it a shot. I think Andrew Luck is still, 36 years old at this point. So, I mean, theoretically, he should still be playing good football for the Colts right now.
Oh, yeah. He can come back. Yeah, seriously, call him again. Why not? I mean, you know, give it a try, man. He probably still has 5 good years of quarterback play if he wanted to. I mean, it's not like it's going great for Stanford right now.
Nope. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll continue our discussion on the NFL. We'll take your thoughts on the idea of Phillip Rivers coming back into the National Football League. Plus, are the Chiefs actually cooked? Is this the end of an era here? What about Baltimore? What do we make of what's going on in the AFC right now? We'll continue that discussion as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Scott Ramsey from the Nashville Sports Council and the Liberty Mutual Music City Bowl will join us coming up at 7 o'clock. We'll get into the matchup between Tennessee and Illinois with him. So looking forward to that. Taking your thoughts on the AFC playoff picture, on Phillip Rivers potentially returning to the NFL with the Indianapolis Colts. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Joe, you mentioned the Chiefs. I mean, they're gonna need some help here as they – well, number one, they're going to need to win the rest of their games. And two, they're going to need some help here the rest of the way. So you've got them in the fold. A lot of new blood at the top, as we mentioned. Denver, Patriots, Jacksonville. I do look at this, and if you're Buffalo, like think about this heading into the year. You tell the Buffalo Bills, hey, you know, week 15 is going to come around in the NFL. The Chiefs are going to be out of the playoffs. The Ravens are going to be out of the playoffs. The Bengals are going to be out of the playoffs. You're talking Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow. There's still some time for those teams to get back in there, I guess, especially Baltimore with their division. We'll see what happens. But it feels to me like this should be, Joe, Buffalo's year to break through and win, and yet I look at him and I watch him, and Josh Allen could still put on the Superman cape and get things done, and great performance by him in the second half the other day against the Bengals. But as you mentioned, they don't really feel like they are what they were supposed to be in terms of the entire picture of their team. And you look at him and you say, well, if it's not going to be this year for Buffalo, when's it going to be for Buffalo? Same thing with Baltimore, right? Like if it wasn't going to be this year with Baltimore, with the roster that they put together and what we thought they were heading into the year. And I know that Lamar's been hurt through some of this as well. Like, when's it going to be for Baltimore? It's a very interesting time in the AFC from that standpoint of those teams that have been powers for so long, and those quarterbacks specifically, it's a weird year for all of them. I guess at least for Buffalo, they're still in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I just kind of feel like Buffalo's still going to figure it out, you know? But obviously they're going to have to go on the road and excuse me. I mean, probably. I guess, you know, there's enough time here still with four games. I mean, but it's hard to imagine the Patriots and Broncos both collapsing. The Bills do get another shot at the Patriots coming up real soon here, I believe, on
this
the
week?
Road.
Yeah.
It's this week, yeah. So, I mean, I still look at the Bills and I'm like, you know, with all they've done, I feel like they absolutely could make a run. I mean, until last week, I thought the same thing about the Ravens. But, I mean, really the last 2 weeks, I mean, they just get completely blown out by the Bengals and then, you know, lose at home to the Steelers. I don't know, man. I still feel like that catch was a touchdown. I mean, that brings me back to – like Calvin Johnson, it wasn't as bad as like the Calvin Johnson one in Chicago a long time ago, but it's like, I mean, they're 6-7. They'll get the Steelers again too, by the way. They will get to go there, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if they won it and still won the division, but I mean, I don't know.
They got a tough path though. They've got, well, I mean, the Bengals coming up this week, who just beat them a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
then they've
badly.
Got the Patriots at home. And then they're on the road at the Packers, and then they're on the road at the Steelers to close things out.
Yeah, that is tough, man. I mean, again, that's all you have to do is, you know, you're one game back in your division. All you have to do is, you know, win your division. So you do get, like, the chance to equalize things with the Steelers. But, yeah, that's really tough. It's just hard to believe in them. I mean, I guess with the Bills, you know, I would go there. It's just hard for me to believe that the Broncos or the Patriots are going to be Super Bowl team this year. But you know what? We do have crazy years sometimes where a team comes out of nowhere. And those two, you know, the Patriots are more out of nowhere than the Broncos are. But both of them, I mean, no one had them at 11-2 at this point.
Well, I mean, there were some people that picked Denver to win the division this year, but to already have it, you know, basically wrapped up at this point. I know the Chargers are hanging around in there. But Denver's 11-2. The Chiefs are actually eliminated from contention to winning their division. Like, nobody had that by the time Week 15 rolled around here. So, like, you know, I still watch Denver. And I guess, again, we're going to find out more this weekend because they play the Packers at home. But I watch Denver, and it's like, well, their defense is really, really good. And then their offense, I have no idea. Like, some games they look okay. Some games, frankly, they just look bad on offense. But they found a way to just roll out these wins here. They've gotten to 11-2. So, I mean, if you get to 11-2 in the NFL, you got to be taken seriously if you're the Broncos. But I think people are still hesitant. You look at the Patriots, and maybe you feel like they're a year or two ahead of schedule. The Broncos, if you watch them play, don't really look all that impressive offensively. And I think people are just naturally coming back to the Bills in the AFC, which I understand. I tell you what, though. A team that looks more and more dangerous by the week with how well they play defensively, I don't think – like, would it surprise you at all right now? This is what the matchup would be in the first week of the playoffs, the Patriots at home hosting the Texans. Like, would it surprise you if the Texans won that game with how good their defense is?
No. No, it would not. Yeah, it's interesting, too. You know, Patriots and Broncos both won 10 in a row. Patriots are 6-0 away, which is interesting and obviously very impressive. But no, it would not at all surprise me. The Texans are dangerous. I would be more – I know that the Chargers found a way, and, I mean, they should send all the fruit and cheese baskets to Jalen Hurts today, but I'd be a lot more afraid of the Houston Texans in the playoffs than the Chargers right now.
Yeah, it feels like Buffalo's year, doesn't it?
It does.
It kind of feels like Buffalo's year.
But then I watch Buffalo, and I'm like, man, I don't know. I don't think their defense is very good.
Yeah. No, they're not.
Yeah.
Without Kansas City and Baltimore, you know, like, this has got to be their year to strike without Mahomes and Lamar.
Yeah.
You know, and Josh Allen will probably be the best quarterback in the AFC in the playoffs. So, I don't know. I'm kind of thinking Bills.
It's going to be – I think the playoffs – and there's still some time for the seeding and the teams to shake around here over the next few weeks – But right now, like, if the playoffs started today, it would be really fascinating. Like, you'd have good old Liam Combe and Duvall hosting the Bills in a playoff game to start right now. Like, congratulations, Jacksonville. Here's Buffalo.
Yeah, I mean, that's another one where it's like, oh, man, I'd have to buy the road team there. But, again, you know, the Chiefs and the Ravens are definitely very different situations. The Chiefs are not going to make the playoffs. Again, I'm looking at the Ravens. You mentioned their tough schedule, and it is tough. But so the Steelers, again, one game up, and they host the Ravens in the finale, which yep. certainly could be. But before then, I mean, they have the Dolphins Monday Night Football, and the Dolphins,
That's
Dolphins
a huge
are quietly
game.
Huge game. Then they're at Detroit. Detroit fighting for its playoff life, and then they're at the Browns before they're. So, I mean, that division, like, we could still be talking about the Ravens hosting a playoff game when this is all done. And, I don't know, maybe we're still talking about Ravens-Bills, which is what I thought would be probably the thing this year.
Can you imagine if it cycles all the way back around to that? And it's like, yeah, the Ravens were 8-9, and they won their division, and the Bills – we're in second place in their division and won all these playoff games on the road, but that's what ends up happening.
Ravens at Cincy this week.
That's a big one.
Yeah. After just getting just – you know, you wonder if last week breaks Cincy because they just know they're done. I don't know, but, like, it was ugly the first – just a couple weeks ago on Thanksgiving. Ugly what Cincinnati did to them.
Speaking of schedules – there is a stat that I saw yesterday as it relates to the Tennessee Titans that I wonder if we look at it, does it make us view this year's Tennessee Titans team any differently at all? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Ian and I were just discussing what I believe is going to be an 8:52 puck drop tonight for the Nashville Predators. That'll be fun.
Ooh.
Which means
really
I was doing the math in my head. It's like, okay, so it means game be over with right around 11:30.
A home game,
which means
it
would be a minimum of me getting out of there at the earliest, 12:30, home earliest at 1 o'clock. Yeah, it'll be fun. We'll see how it goes.
8:52 home game on a weeknight.
Thank you, TNT.
Does this not – yeah, I mean, does this not hurt the Preds when it comes to attendance?
I mean, I can't imagine that they're overly thrilled about it, but sometimes it just kind of is what it is with the national TV schedule.
Yeah, TV does what TV wants to do.
That is true. That is true. So we'll get into that a little bit later in the show. Joe, I saw a stat yesterday that I think I know the answer, but I'm just going to throw it out there anyway for Titans fans, just to try to put a little of this in context. First off, Titans are coming off a win, baby. We're going to hammer that home all week. It's good time right now for the Tennessee Titans. Mike McCoy, inspiring speech in the locker room after the game. The vibes are high right now with the Tennessee Titans. So you get the win in Cleveland. To get your second win of the year. And, Joe, I saw Aaron Schatz put this out there yesterday, and he does some work for FTN Fantasy. And John Glennon was talking about it. And I think it's worth bringing up. The toughest schedule this year from a couple of different metrics. And he used DVOA of the opponent. So you're talking about efficiency as it's related to kind of the rest of the NFL and of who you're, the context of who you're playing matters when they calculate all this stuff. Like, there's a lot of things that go into DVOA. But the Titans, according to the stat that he put out there, are number two in the league in terms of the toughest schedule this year. Arizona, actually, they're tied for first. I mean, you got the Cardinals at 9.3% DVOA, Titans at number two at 9.3%. To round out the top five, you got the Texans at three, the Niners at four, and the Eagles at five. If you just want to go like straight up strength of schedule on the ESPN Football Power Index, Joe, Titans rank number two in that as well. The Giants are actually number one. The Titans are two, and the Chiefs are at number three. So you could also say with that, Joe, it's like, well, some of these teams have gotten to play the Tennessee Titans at least once, maybe twice. So that factors in to how good their strength of schedule is, because when you're just beating the crap out of the Titans all the time, all of a sudden those teams look really good. But I think by the numbers, when you factor all that in together, Joe, it's fair to say that if you are expecting the Titans, who finished the worst team in the league last year, to walk into it this year and just have this easy schedule because of the way things went last year, it has definitely not shaken out that way for the Tennessee Titans. And some of that is just because of the divisions that they've had to play against, right? Like, I mean, look, it's not their fault, but they had to play the NFC West this year, right? And Seattle's pretty darn good, and the Rams are pretty darn good. And they haven't even played San Francisco yet, but they're 9-4. They're pretty darn good. Jacksonville's way better than we thought they were going to be. Indy, particularly at the time, is way better than we thought they were going to be. So some of it's just bad luck. But my question, Joe, is as you look at all that, does that change how you view this year for the Tennessee Titans at all, if you're a Titans fan?
Yeah. I mean, a little, but I mean, you know, what are we talking about here? If the schedule was what we thought it was going in, I mean, are we talking about a 4-win team?
I think I had five before the year, 4 or 5. Can't remember. One of the two.
I mean, they have a competitive loss at Denver they got handled by the Rams, blown out by when the Colts were really rolling, 26-0 to the Texans. You know, I mean, you got a loss to the Raiders in there. You know, you have more blowouts, Patriots, Colts blowout. Yeah, they were competitive with the Chargers. They were competitive the second time with the Texans. They did come back in that Seahawks game, and that was a good Cam Ward day. And then, again, just a total blowout against the Jags. So, I mean, really, they haven't been competitive even in most of those games,
yeah,
which is why they're – I think their point differential – is it the worst in the entire NFL? It's awfully close. But regardless, so yeah, I mean, it does turn out, it's a great example for people, you know, for like going into a season, what we think a schedule is, how tough it is, how easy it is, whatever. So many things. So often, I think those preseason notions turn out to be wrong, or a lot of them do, you know. So that's a good reminder. But I think for the Titans, just being non-competitive in so many of those games, I guess, are we just talking about closer losses?
You know, probably.
They didn't have, you know, I mean, that's so.
Yeah, they're clear of the Raiders by 20.
I wouldn't give them too much grace.
Well, let the record show. It doesn't make me change it, how I view it all that much. I just, when you look at it, like being objective in the conversation, the scheduling part of this has worked out pretty poorly for the Tennessee Titans relative to, you know, finishing in last place and the worst team in the league last year. They have not had any favors handed their way with how this is all shaken out here.
Right. Or are they, did they get a big favor because they could still get the number one pick?
Well,
you know? But they may have screwed that up too. Yeah. And they are, by the way, they are last in point differential, minus 156. It's the Titans and the Raiders in an absolute battle to see if either of them can get to minus 200 by the end of the year. It's possible.
Well, you know, I thought it was going to be different. They did go 2-1 in the preseason, so, you know.
That is true.
Can we please remember that when we all start talking about the importance of preseason games next year?
Oh, God, are they still going to do preseason games? I keep waiting for them to just completely eliminate them, but, yeah.
Rob from Nolensville says, if we were at all competitive, even in losses, in more than 20% of our games, I'd look at the season differently. Instead, it's been a dumpster fire. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, by the numbers right now, Joe, the two best teams they've played have been New England and Denver, just by the record. They actually played pretty well against Denver. I know it was week one. They probably should have – I don't know if they should have won the game, but they were in position to have won that game. New England, they were not. I mean, they just got destroyed by the Patriots. I mean, the other part of this is I think you can make a good argument that the worst team that they've played, which is the Raiders – they did not play very well in that game either. So I get it. Like I don't necessarily buy into that as well. It is kind of amazing when you look at it, though, just the way that this has worked out. Like you've got Indianapolis, particularly when you play Indianapolis at the beginning part of the year. You played them twice before the month of October was even wrapped up, and this was before Daniel Jones was dealing with a leg injury, certainly before he was dealing with the Achilles. You had Jonathan Taylor at the time playing like an MVP candidate in the league. Jacksonville, we just saw. I mean, Jacksonville handled them as well as any team's handled them so far this year. And like I said, they haven't even played San Francisco yet. They still got Jacksonville again. So the way it's kind of shaped out for them this year, the schedule has not done them any favors. I would not, if I'm Mike Borgonzi, if I'm Chad Brinker, if I may be Adam Strunk, I don't know that I would be looking at the schedule and being like, well, you know what? we got a real tough break on the scheduling part, but we think in actuality in a normal year, we're actually like a 6-win team instead of a 3-win team or whatever they end up being at the end of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, let's hope no one says anything like that. That would be not well received. It is the worst luck of it is probably, like you just said, the Colts, you know, the fact that they had to play the Colts, and the Colts were one of the stories of the NFL. I mean, everybody would like to play the Colts now, yep. You know, and whoever
until Philip Rivers gets out there and starts slinging it around.
Wow, that's true. He beat the Titans at least once, right?
I'm sure he did
during that little time. I think he did.
I have to go back and look. I mean, that's so long ago. I don't remember. Know. Let me look. I'll pull it up.
Yeah, that was he 20? So he was 2020.
Yeah.
The Titans definitely won there in 2020.
They won but the Colts won in
– Colts won here?
In Nashville. Thursday night game. Colts 34, Titans 17.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Why the heck do I not remember that?
I don't know.
I feel like now I'm having flashbacks of Ryan Porth saying, like, they'll never beat the Colts ever again.
Maybe I think that could have been when that happened,
but,
yes.
Yeah, so – but, yeah, that one – that part of it's bad luck for them for sure. And, you know, I mean, you know, the Patriots are obviously better than we thought. But even, you know, even with the Patriots going into the year, no one thought they'd be 11-2. But we still all expected them to come in here and thump the Titans, right? You know, the Vrabel to come in here and handle them. I mean, the Jags are certainly better than we thought. And they have to play them again. And based on the first meeting, that's probably not going to go too well. We figured the Texans would be good. So they're probably about what they were supposed to be after all the ups and downs.
I mean, it is kind of amazing. They got four games left here at San Francisco, home against the Chiefs, home against the Saints, and on the road against Jacksonville. And you're looking at it and you're like, you know, I think the two teams that they've got the best chance to beat there would be the Saints and the Chiefs. I think that's where they are right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how much, I mean, the Chiefs have to be perfect. So, but at that point, yeah, the Chiefs may be done. This week could eliminate the Chiefs, I believe, right?
I think so. Who do they have this week? Let's see here. The Kansas City Chiefs take on the Chargers.
There you go. Yeah, they have the Chargers at home. So, yeah, I mean, that is – which is massive for both teams. I mean, the Chargers, I think, still tough sledding to get in probably.
I mean, Herbert could not even hold the ball last night. That was crazy.
It was. I saw some. They're showing some highlights right now. I mean, the amount of times the ball hit the ground in this game is unbelievable.
He dropped the ball like every time he got hit. It was like almost painful to watch.
Yeah, they got handed. Yeah, no, I mean, both quarterbacks are just desperately trying to give the ball back to their team all night. I mean, they go to the Chiefs, they go to the Cowboys, Texans at home, at Broncos. That's how the
That's
Chargers
a tough way
finish.
To close.
So, I mean, good for them to win last night. It keeps them alive, but. I don't think they're going to end up in the postseason.
615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. More of your thoughts to get to on the Titans. We will do that coming up next. Scott Ramsey will be with us at 7 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. We'll have Scott Ramsey coming up, president and CEO of the Nashville Sports Council and of the Liberty Mutual Music City Bowl. Tennessee taking on Illinois. In the Music City Bowl, we'll get into that matchup with him. Looking forward to that. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Joe, one texter has thrown this out there. Hypothetically, based off of this year, would you want the Titans to trade multiple first-rounders and Cam Ward for Patrick Mahomes? Have the Chiefs given up on Mahomes this year? Titans can strike while the iron's hot.
Oh, sure. Get in there, man. Absolutely. I'm sure they're willing to give him
Borgonzi, you know? They've fallen apart. There's a nice
a better idea.
Nice. He's got a better idea of, you know, maybe the value that Mahomes could have there.
There you go. I mean, maybe Mahomes knows that Borgonzi was the key to all their success all these years, and he just wants to reunite with them.
They're 6-7 without Mike Borgonzi. Those are what the numbers say. That's what the math is.
And look at the record with him. Just saying.
I know. Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff. I don't think that's going to happen. I am very interested in all serious, though. Like, how quickly can Kansas City rebound? because Corey brought this up yesterday with us. Like, they have been on a run where they have drafted relatively poorly at the skill positions to help him, right? Like, I mean, for so long it was him and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, and then obviously Hill was gone, and it was him and Kelce, and they got basically just spot contributions from everybody else. Rashee Rice is a good player when he's on the field, but their offense, like, they just, I don't know, it's been a couple years now, Joe, and I know they got to the Super Bowl last year, but it's been a couple years where their offense hasn't really been all that dangerous when you look at the numbers.
Yeah, exactly. And they've been relying on their defense, and then that has started to leak oil this year. And the pass rush hasn't been very good. Chris Jones was actually good the other night, but like it's a lot of things have just regressed for them. So, you know, I mentioned earlier the stat about Brady, what, 9 years without winning it, but most of those years they were still really good. They were, yep, they were in there. They were a playoff team most of those years. And they were knocking on the door, and I think the same thing will be. I think they're going to have to, like you said, skill position for sure. They've been trying to address the offensive line. Then, you know, Wanya Morris gets hurt the other night in the first play of the game. It's not like they have nothing. They still have some good players on defense. I mean, to me, it's like you have to get a difference making skill guy. And that could be, you know, probably a receiver, but even like, you know, they've been going with Kareem Hunt here. And I know you don't think about running backs being that important, but if you have a threat there, you know, that can, the Mahomes would, he would make use of that, you know, and someone who can catch the ball in the backfield and things like that. So, I mean, I feel like Kelce's probably retiring, would be my guess.
Did he not say that already?
I don't think he's officially said it. I think it's what everybody
suggested it.
But I do wonder, like, if they miss the playoffs, is he going to just go out like that? Like, it's – look, he's not the same player he used to be, obviously. I mean, he still does have 60 catches for 727 yards and 5 touchdowns this year. Like, it's not like he's just turned into some ghost out there on the field.
Yeah, yeah. He's just not clearly one of the top 2 or 3 tight ends like he was forever. You know? Yeah, he's still good. He can, I mean, I'm sure – the Chiefs would be happy to keep going there with him. But, yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I know last year, like, there's no way I'm going out, you know, losing this Super Bowl. But, boy, that sounds a lot better than what's happening to them right now.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Now, you know, we mentioned, you know, from a Titans perspective, I mean, Mahomes isn't going anywhere. They're going to be a factor in the AFC. But we went through the standings earlier, like, I guess the thing that stands out the most is, you know, those three quarterbacks, and really, I guess, four when you want to talk about them all, Burrow, Jackson, Allen, and Mahomes. We know how good they are, and they're not going anywhere. But now you're looking around at some of the younger guys, and it's like, okay, well, Drake May in the AFC, you're going to have to deal with for a while here. I mean, I still don't know how good Bo Nix is, but Bo Nix has done a whole lot of winning since he's been the starting quarterback of the Denver Broncos, so – I mean, it is what it is. They win a lot of games, so you gotta deal with that right now. And that's, you know, I think people were burying C.J. Stroud earlier in the year, and all of a sudden they've come back and they're 8-5. And I know that he's been hurt through part of it, and the biggest reason that Houston is 8-5 by far is their defense. I mean, they've got the best defense in the NFL. But I'm just saying, like, you got a lot of these guys that, even beyond the normal names at quarterback, that you're going to have to deal with if you're the Titans and Cam Ward moving forward here.
Yeah. I fully expect, and hey, if he proves me wrong, great. I fully expect, like, Bo Nix to have, like, a bad playoff game and them to lose that game. You know, but I've been a complete Bo Nix doubter, like, all along, and he keeps proving me wrong. But they're a very good team, without question.
And it'll probably be a home game, right? So
probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, at this point, I don't even know what the New England Denver tiebreaker, I mean, I guess what conference record is that?
Win percentage in conference games. Yep, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't even know who that would be, but again, I mean,
right now it's Denver.
Like right now Denver is a team. Yeah. So But to your point, yeah. There's always going to be good, excuse me, quarterbacks. But it doesn't look as daunting right now, right? I mean, even going into this year, it's like everybody else around the AFC be like, gosh, how many more years of, you know, Mahomes, Allen, and Jackson do you have to worry about in this conference? And again, like those teams all look less those teams all look less daunting, of course, than they did going into the year, for sure.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And then you add the fact that Drake May may win MVP this year, and it's like, oh, okay. So they just added another one to the
yeah, game. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's where, and I just, again, hating on Bo Nix, but like Drake May, to me, he legitimately could be a long time big
he's gonna
time
be a problem.
Quarterback in this league. Bo Nix, I keep proving me wrong, man. You know, the guy makes plays. The guy, several times this year, even in games that were ugly, makes big plays in the fourth quarter.
You think there's a bigger combo hater on the earth of Tom Brady and Bo Nix than Rex Rudd?
Yeah, I don't even really.
Let's put those two in the same conversation for a minute.
Probably not.
Well, I don't think that Bo Nix is one of the best quarterbacks in AFC West history.
That's good.
While Brady is certainly in AFC East history, so I mean, there's still a pretty
maybe big even difference. NFC South history too. Yeah,
yeah. Well, yeah, he's pretty good. You know, Matt Ryan won MVP.
That's true.
No, but I mean,
Drew
how
Brees,
many people
not
agree
bad.
With
not
me?
Bad.
Drew Brees is okay. He was all right. Not announcing. Brady and Brees should go do a podcast and not make us listen to their announcing. And then we'd all be better for it. But no, I mean, how many people think Bo Nix is great / going to be a great quarterback for a long time in the NFL?
It's
I don't want to compare this to Tebow, because remember Tebow, he won a playoff game and stuff like that with Denver. But obviously, it's just like, yeah, I just don't see.
Well,
it.
We're going
but
right to Tebow.
They keep winning.
Huh?
Well, Bo Nix, the Broncos.
Tim Tebow.
It's the Broncos thing. Yeah, yeah.
Oh boy,
who was the guy who went to the Texans?
Osweiler.
Oh God.
Yeah.
There you go. They've had some real gems.
Paxton Lynch.
Oh yeah.
Throw him in there.
A lot of
sure.
stuff going on out there.
Memphis legend.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Scott Ramsey from the Nashville Sports Council will join us coming up next. We'll get into the matchup with the Music City Bowl coming up here in a few weeks. Tennessee taking on Illinois. That is next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.